is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send us your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we conclude the series, The Bright Light That Is Jesus. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's sermon. Up next is the Blackwood Brothers with His Grace Is Sufficient, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's message.
Many times I'm tried and tested as I travel day by day, and oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in my way, but I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every need. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me. It is free, and my joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. When the tempter brings confusion, and I don't know what to do, down on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know that He'll see me through. Then despair, it's changed to victory. Every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for every day. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me. It is free, and what joy fills my soul just to know
me tell you something, my friends. In this temple, the light is not the sun. It's not the moon. The light is God and Jesus. The very light of the temple is God and Jesus. That's in the book of Revelation. You see, God will not live in a temple built with human hands. He's not interested in that. The Jews say someday we're going to rebuild our temple. And evangelical Christians, oh yes, we're going to give them money. We're going to help them to build their temple. Oh, you're building a temple to the Antichrist, to the devil. Because Jesus builds his heart, his temple, through the hearts of men. He combines all the hearts together, and we all function as one. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a life in Jesus. And you're not going to be happy until you ask Jesus to take over your life, and he will lead you, he will guide you into his light. You will be in his kingdom, you will be his temple, and we will all be one with Jesus Christ. Oh, this is a great mystery, my friends. There is a mystery of iniquity, but there is also a mystery of God, of godliness. It says here, for the mystery, this is verse 7 of chapter 2 of Thessalonians, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. Who is that wicked? That's the Antichrist, the son of perdition. Whom the Lord shall consume, now listen to this, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Think about that. How's God going to destroy the Antichrist, the man of sin, who has the devil incarnate within him? He does it with the brightness of his coming. It's done automatically. They don't grapple with swords and knives or tanks and laser aircraft or jets or anything. They don't have nuclear bombs. The brightness of his coming. My friends, you don't want to be opposed to the light when the light comes. When the light comes in its full glory. I remember reading about a scientist who was studying lasers when they were first developed. And he was told, don't look at the laser light. Don't look in it directly. And he forgot himself for a brief moment, and he looked into the laser light. And his eyes, he suddenly began to feel the light ebb out. You see, his eyeballs begin to melt within. And within just 8 or 9 seconds, he was blind, totally blind. And the man, he's blind to this day. The light drove him to blindness. Well, it's a little bit like Jesus Christ. When he comes, the devil will wither away. The devil will be killed. The devil, I mean, he can't take that light. I say he'll be killed. Actually, he'll be thrown into the lake of fire, where he'll be tormented forever and ever, the Bible says. The wicked will be revealed, and the Lord will consume him with the spirit of his mouth. That means whatever God says to him, that does the job. Be gone, Satan. That's probably enough to do him in. Because the light's going to follow. The light is what does Satan in. And the disciples of Satan on this earth, your light will destroy them. It must have really tormented those guards back in the communist days when Pastor Richard Wurmbrand said, Jesus is my light from that dark cell. Jesus is my light. Oh, they beat him, starved him, did all kind of things to him. But they must have marveled. They must have gone back into their rooms late at night, privately laying on their beds, thinking about that man. He was tormenting them. Oh, they had the right to torture him. They could probably kill him, get away with it. But he was tormenting them with his love for Jesus. But of the Antichrist, it said in verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sent them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure
in unrighteousness.
Wow.
God sends them a strong delusion. You know, it says in the Bible that God actually can send blindness. Now, that's not physical blindness. But some people who reject the light, then he sends blindness to. Then they're in darkness. Their whole life, they'll be in darkness. They'll be damned. Now, friends, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ or you reject him right now, the time may come when God says, I'm not going to work with this man anymore. I'm not going to appeal to his conscience. I'm not going to ask him to accept me as Lord and Savior anymore. I'm through with him. You never know when that day is going to come. And you may not have another opportunity to serve God. This may be your last chance. This sermon you're listening to today might be it. You don't know. Oh, I'll serve him next week. I'll do that. I want to pleasure in unrighteousness until then. Yeah, well, then might be right now. You know, it says in John chapter 3, what a great chapter that is. I've been reading it several times lately. It says in John 3:15, you know the verse, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And verse 18 is fantastic. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, a lot of people say to me, who are you to consign people to hell? Well, I'm nobody. There's not one person on earth I've ever consigned to hell. I couldn't send you to hell. I can't. I have no power to do that. You know, even when I'm mad at somebody, if I were to say go to hell, well, God would lash back at me and say, who are you to say that? Keep your mouth shut, Tex Mars. I'm the one that sends them to hell. But I can tell you what God said. I can tell you the people that go into hell because of these things he said, but he may still want that man in heaven. I may think the man is an utter fraud, a terrible person, a jerk. Boy, I may think he's a murderer. I may say that guy will not be in heaven when I go. Well, I'm probably going to be wrong. I may be wrong. Jesus already got it. He's already got you chosen. He's got everybody he wants in his temple, in his light. He has chosen you before the foundation of the world. Now, this is one thing I've mentioned, and people don't understand it. But God doesn't have any time. God doesn't have any periods. He doesn't have any days. He doesn't have any nights. It's amazing. But, you know, we talk about Einstein's theory of relativity, that time is relative. It depends on how fast you're going. I guess the NASCAR drivers, you know, they say, well, I'm going to live a long time then because I drive fast. You have to drive a lot faster than that, my friends. You have to drive faster than the speed of light. Thousands and thousands of miles a second. But it is an amazing thing, isn't it? That how, I mean, light can affect your how old you are. And it's interesting that God has already found you. He has designed the world so that you'll be born into the world. And he's designed the world so that you'll be saved sometime during your life or you'll be damned. Now, people say to me, that's not fair. Before God even saw me, even before I was born as a child, even before I was in the womb, God knew that I was going to be damned forever. Yes, he did. Or before I was ever born in the room, God was going to favor me by saving me and bringing me into the light of his glory. How can that be? Why do I deserve that? I don't know. He does what he wants. Paul talked about it being like a potter. You know, the pot doesn't tell the potter, why did you make me like this. You ever saw a pot? It's ugly. I don't like that pot. I don't like the shape of it. I don't like the structure. I don't like the foundation of it. I don't like the way the top, you know, has a little border. I don't like that at all. Well, you can talk about the pot like that, but the pot cannot talk about you like that. You ever heard a pot talking to a man? No, he doesn't do that. God made you the way you are, and you cannot complain about it. Oh, well, you can, but it won't do you any good. Now, some people go out and sin and say, well, I'm already been consigned to hell from the time I was born, so I'm just going to, born to raise hell. You've heard that saying before? That's pretty stupid. They're bringing damnation upon themselves. I like better the person that says, I was not born to raise hell. I was born to serve God. I'm going to serve God. You know, God already knew which way you're going to go. But you didn't. That's why somebody said, well, why should I go out and preach to anybody? God's already going to save them. He's already got his choices. Why do I have to go preach to them? They'll be saved. Well, how are they saved? How's the pot made without a potter? God appoints a potter to make the pot. God has chosen you to go tell that other man about him so that he will be chosen. That's so silly, these people, these hyper-Calvinists who say, I don't need to tell anybody about Jesus because if God wants them, he'll call them into his. It's like irresistible. It might be irresistible because God has called you to go and tell them. But listen to this. In verse 19 of John 3. And this is the, talking about those who are condemned. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Boy, here's what's going to condemn you. You're going to be condemned for this purpose. Listen, friends, it's not automatic that you go to hell. You don't know where you're going to go, but listen. And this, if you're going to have this condemnation, this is what happens to you. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So your deeds are evil. You love the darkness. You don't want your deeds to be reproved. You don't want somebody to tell you your deeds are evil because you're going to hate that person. That's why people hate the ministry of Tex Mars. I'm showing them that their deeds are evil. I'm sure the men that I write about and women and pastors and churches going wild, they must hate me. How dare you say these things about me, Tex Mars? They don't want to be condemned. They're only going to be condemned if their deeds are evil. How are people going to know about their deeds? Well, they will know. You can't hide it. Someday it'll come out. It'll be made manifest. For everyone, verse 20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. If you have the truth in you, my friends, you will thank Jesus for it. You will say, thank you for coming into my life. Let my deeds be made manifest so that all may know that I am yours. It's pretty important, isn't it? Jesus said to his followers, you are the light of the world. Even so, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, that's what your Father, God, that's what he deserves. That's what he automatically has as God. When you shine a light as a Christian by doing good, by being good, by serving others, by showing love to others, kindness, consideration, mercy, when all these things are true, you're not just glorifying yourself, you're glorifying the Father in heaven. Think about that. You know, think about that. We're to be obedient in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Think about that. Again, we're in the middle of a perverse, a crooked generation. So that we may, quote, be seen as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Wow. We celebrate the light. We are the light. In the midst of a perverse generation, oh, they'll see you. And they'll hate you. Why do they hate Christians? You know they do. The atheist, the Satanist, the Church of Satan, the people in Planned Parenthood, they hate people like you and me. You're hypocritical. You're this, you're that. They hate Christians. Because your life example compared to theirs makes their life so rotten, so unrighteous, so miserable. They want to bring you down with them, my friends. They want you to join them in the muck and the mire. There should be a lot of difference between the lives of Christians and non-Christians, but there's none today. There's a guy out there named Barna that does research in the lives of Christians, and he goes out and asks Christians, you know, what are they living like? He's found that there's as much promiscuity in the Christian community as there is in the non-Christian community. How can that be, folks? Christians seem to like rock music as well as the perverse, crooked world. How can that be, my friends? You're not trusting in God. You're not the light of the world. But we should be. Well, a lot of people fear men. They fear not being politically correct. They move into a new neighborhood. They don't want to tell their neighbors they're Christians because, you know, they'll look down on me. People look down on Christians today. People don't like Christians. What's that to you, dear friend? What's that to Jesus Christ? They crucified him because they didn't like him. His example was so great that they said, away with this man, crucify him. You're not going to be crucified, are you? You may go through a little bit of shame, a little bit of contempt. So what? You know, it is a privilege to suffer for sake of the truth. Happy are you when men persecute you for my name's sake. Isn't that amazing? You can be happy when men persecute you as long as they're doing it for the sake of God. Paul said that Christians should become blameless and harmless, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world. Wow. You may not even know what people are saying about you. You walk in the light and people are talking about you. Everybody will know about you. Everybody will say he's walking in the light. He's part of the light. He's a follower of Jesus Christ. Proclaim the gospel. Live godly. Practice mercy and charity. Practice love. For our wrestling, the Bible says, is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness. That's who your fight is against. It's not against human beings. It's against the rulers of darkness. That's who our enemy is. But let me tell you something, my friends. Your friend, your great friend, your friend that's already defeated the darkness is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. With him, my friends, you're headed for glory. You can't go wrong. You just put on the whole armor of God. Put on the light. And so I ask you, my friends, to end this little talk today. We've had this little discussion, I guess you could call it. How bright is your light? How much do people see Jesus in you? How many watts, you might say, of candle power do you have in your light? Is there any darkness? Then put on the light and be happy.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening. listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.